Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming this evening to our Sunday program. And as Suvas Prabhu was mentioning, it's quite a challenge to come during this weather. There are even people, I understand, out there running the L.A. Marathon for whatever reason. One of our members here, right? Of course, that's one challenge, but it's a greater challenge to come. Actually, it's a greater challenge, it is. It's a greater fortune also to come before the deities here. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, manushanam sahasreshu. There may be thousands and millions of people out there running marathons, but those who are running the marathon of God consciousness are very few, and they're far between. So it's glorious that you're here, and it's very much appreciated. So this evening we're going to be reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And those who are new guests, I believe you received a copy of it. This is a very special book. Of course, it's the Word of God. And it's special because it's being given by a authorized and bona fide spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, which is very important, because Srila Prabhupada comments in the introduction that there are many, there are hundreds and maybe thousands of editions of the Bhagavad Gita, but there's only one as it is. And it's called as it is because Srila Prabhupada went through great pain to present Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's word, as Krishna gave it, as he's giving it to us now, because it's still relevant to modern society, to present society, I shouldn't say modern, to present society, even though it was spoken 5,000 years back. And the knowledge is timeless, of course. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, imam yavashvate yogam. He originally spoke this knowledge millions of years ago, but it's still relevant. And so many persons have taken Bhagavad Gita and they've given their own interpretation, but hardly a one devotee has been produced of it. But we see that in Srila Prabhupada's edition, hundreds and thousands, and shortly millions, will be following and understanding the word of Krishna. So, it is very special. And also, you're special because you're here participating in it. So it's, as Krishna says again, it's a very rare person that comes. What to speak of someone who is chanting Hare Krishna? It's very rare. And really, that's the most difficult marathon. So this evening we're going to be reading from the 13th chapter, which is entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Text number 26. And I'll just read the verse and move on to the translation and purport. The verse is Anye tvevam ajananta shutvanye bhya upasate tepi chai chatit taranteva nityum shuti parayana. Oh, yeah, those who have Gitas, if you want to follow, it's text again, number 26 in the 13th chapter. Text 26, 13th chapter. The translation is, again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. This is actually a really wonderful verse. I've always liked this verse. It's very special because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a most important point, as Krishna is making in the verse, of course. I'll read the translation again. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society, because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress. Especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharini Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pastachari Satarini Tum Guru Devachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yarki Padama Mande Sigurum Dina Taharanam. So, this is a very, very important verse, and Srila Prabhupada makes so many wonderful points in the purport, especially because it's one of the few purports where the whole Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is given. So it's especially important. But here, the Lord and Srila Prabhupada are emphasizing this, the process of hearing, which is very important. It's not the hearing that, say my wife says something to me and it goes one ear and out the other. It's not that kind of hearing. We have maybe have that experience, in one ear and out the other. Or it's not like the hearing that you may see on the, or hear on the talk radio, where people talk for hours and hours, and there's really nothing there. It's, It's good if you're a security guard because it keeps you awake. It agitates your mind enough that you can get through the evening. Not that sort of hearing. And there's plenty of that. Shukadeva Goswami explains that also in the Bhagavatam, where he says, Shrotavya Adini Rajana Ninam Shanti Sahasrasha. There's so many thousands and things, millions of things that people can talk about. And certainly they do. There are plenty of newspapers that come out. Of course, they're losing their punch also. But so now people are onto the internet. And there's so many things that you can talk about. But all it is just agitating and disturbs your sleep. So not that sort of hearing. Instead, hearing should be such that one can, as Krishna explains here in the verse, transcend the path of birth and death. Now, someone may ask, well, what is that all about? The problem is that we've come into this world as a result of past sins. It's not an accident. Srila Prabhupada comments that that anyone who's accepted a material body has received it as a result of past sinful activities. Therefore, hearing, real hearing, means to eradicate those sinful tendencies. Tavaka tamritam tapta jivanam, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis are speaking to Lord Krishna, where they're saying, Tavaka tamritam tapta jivanam, kavibir iritam kalmas sapaham. Your words, descriptions of your pastimes and your words are the life and soul for those who are suffering, tapta jivanam, we're suffering in this material world. Those who are suffering in this material world, who recognize it anyway, there's so many people who are very happily running along and engaging in their daily work, and don't recognize that they're bound by this material world. But those who recognize that I'm living in this miserable material world as a result of some past misdeeds, and now I need to make some changes. Therefore, proper hearing is hearing that inspires one to make that change in life. It's meant to eradicate those sins, that sort of mentality. Because material existence means threefold miseries. Because someone may ask, well, what? I don't mind living in this world. It's quite pleasant. Anyone who says that is not really, they must be intoxicated. Or they're just not in touch. Maybe they're on some medication or something. But material life means these threefold miseries. And the Lord describes them as aribhautik, aridaivik, and ariatmika kleshas. Aribhautik are those miseries which are inflicted upon us by other living entities. Just like I may be peacefully resting. I remember actually a few years back, we were in a very beautiful city on the coast of India called Jagannath Puri. Is anyone, so many people have been to Jagannath Puri? Very beautiful place on the eastern coast. And it's very beautiful beaches. And we were in this hotel along the water. And myself and some family members. And we were resting. And then, you know, as the night went on, somewhere around midnight, all of a sudden, we were attacked by some terrorist mosquitoes. They were terrorists. And so my daughter was in one bed, and so we put down the mosquito net, you know, that's on it. And, you know, I just went back to sleep, and life is good. But when I woke up in the morning, and when she got up, I noticed, I looked at her, and she looked like she had the measles. And I was thinking, I asked her, what happened? Well, when you put down the net, you locked in the mosquitoes. So there's miseries inflicted by other living beings, intentional or not. Again, you may be very happy and blissful in your life, and you're a very pious do-gooder or whatever, but some or other, some conflict arises. So adibhautic miseries. Or we may be abused by someone, which is a common thing in society now, or at least it has been for many years. Now it's being publicized. And then there's adidaivika klesha, which we're experiencing today. There's miseries inflicted upon us by the devas, the higher demigods, higher personalities who are controlling different functions in the universe. And unfortunately, those persons who had to recently experience this tsunami and earthquake and everything else that was going on in Japan, everyone knows about that, but it happens everywhere all the time. And our hearts go out for them, certainly. The Vaishnavas feel compassion for those who are suffering. We don't like to see that. And that goes across the board. It's not just humans, but it's also the animal kingdom. They are also prajas, Srila Prabhupada explains. They're also citizens of the state. So sometimes material nature inflicts miseries upon us. And then there's, of course, adi-atmika klesha. Those are miseries which are within our own body and mind. And everyone knows how difficult the mind can be sometimes. The senses, of course, are raging all the time. They're wanting this thing and that thing. They want to experience this and that. And if that's not enough, the mind is always telling us that, just like they have this saying, you can do it. Yeah, it's a fact. Your mind is always telling you, yes, you can do it. You should do it. Why didn't you do it? Let's figure out how you can do it. So the mind is it's also creating all sorts of miserable conditions for us. So material existence means these threefold miseries. There's no way you can counteract one. In other words, you can put that mosquito net down. But what if a tidal wave comes? It's not going to protect you. Or you can surround yourself with so many weapons. But if your mind is crazy, what is the use? If your senses are out of control, then what is the use? There's no pleasure. So anyone who says that they're not miserable or they're suffering within this material world, then they're really not in touch with reality. So the point of all of this is to how to become freed from that. And Krishna is giving us information, that information here in this verse. And Srila Prabhupada is also explaining that by explaining that it all comes about by hearing. One has to hear again, because that hearing, it not only eradicates the misfortune that the unfortunate conditions that we're in, but it also creates fortune. It also creates a fortune. Simply by hearing about the activities of the personality of Godhead, it creates good fortune for the living beings. Because again, people, the conditioned souls, they then understand what to do and what not to do. By their pious activity, by their hearing properly from authorities, and we'll get to that point because that Srila Prabhupada makes that point in the purport, that one has to hear, and that process of hearing, it eradicates those reactions, but it also creates good fortune. And that, again, is created by hearing from a proper authority. And that hearing process inspires one, purifies the heart. It makes the heart a proper sitting place for the Lord. And we want the heart, the Lord to be comfortable within our hearts. Right now, the hearts are full of all sorts of terrible things, to the point where the Lord doesn't become manifest. He doesn't become recognizable. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, that the heart, it has to be purified of all the dust and dirt that has accumulated for lifetimes. And when that heart is pure, then the Lord has a proper sitting place. And then the Lord gives intelligence. Upadrashtana mantacha bharta bhutta maheshwara paramatmeti chapyukto. The Lord in the heart as paramatma gives the intelligence to do the right thing. So doing the right thing means that we become eventually fortunate in the human form of life. But again, it comes down to a hearing from the proper person, from the bona fide representative, and not from those who are, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, atheistic or agnostic, or they may appear as philosophically intelligent. But, as we were hearing this morning, Srila Prabhupada was pointing out that those whose senses are not controlled, whose mind is not controlled, manodatinasti tavato bahi, they're simply on the mental plane. It's simply on the mental plane. If we're controlled by the mind, then there's no question of understanding spiritual subject matter. It's not possible. One has to come to the spiritual platform, and that means hearing from a bona fide authority and engaging in a bona fide process. This hearing process is very important, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. And Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears the authoritative sources from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, good soul, what does that mean? It brings up a very important point. Do we mean someone who's giving charity? That's one definition. Or maybe helping suffering conditioned souls in some miserable condition, or in maybe some philanthropic type work. But from this purport, what I'm getting out of this is good soul means someone who's also honest. It's a synonym of good. Who's honest. Who's honest that, you know, I realize that I'm in a suffering condition and I accept who Krishna is and who the spiritual master is, that they're superiors, that they're authorities. So this authority thing is very difficult for most people in modern society, in present-day society, because everyone is, again, manodatena asthitavato bahi. They're on the chariot of the mind. They're just going here and there. They're speculating about who they are, who God is, what is the purpose of life. They're just speculating. So there's no progress. There's no benefit. So how to deal with that? And knowing that condition, especially in the Kali Yuga, in the age of Kali, people are particularly disturbed. Their senses are particularly agitated, and the mind is particularly uncontrolled, especially in the Kali Yuga. In previous ages, because of greater piety, the senses were more controlled. People were engaged in more spiritual work, spiritual lifestyles. But as the ages are progressing, people are becoming more and more degraded. So in the Kali Yuga, the general mass of people are very disturbed. And the slightest provocation, they're prepared to do anything, even kill. So it's a very difficult situation. And knowing that, the Lord appeared, and we were celebrating this His appearance yesterday. The Lord, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which if you look on the altar on the far left, for those who are new, you may not recognize the deities on the altar, but the far left is two deities with their hands raised. That one of them on the right is Lord Chaitanya, and his brother is Lord Nityananda. They appeared some 500 years ago for the express purpose of inaugurating this Sankirtan process. Sankirtan means the chanting of the holy names. And as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, the Lord especially wanted that the conditions hear this Maha Mantra, because it's a means, it's also the means to the ends. It's a means to become good souls or honest, that we can accept that we're in a very precarious position right now. We're in this body which is so fragile that every step is full of all sorts of dangers. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Prahlad Maharaj describes that the material world is full of danger. We don't know what will happen next. Those unfortunate souls who one moment they're hearing a siren, the next moment there's a 30-foot wave coming at them. It's very unfortunate. So the material world is just that. It's a place which is meant for suffering. But it's also a place where one can be rectified. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us that process by this chanting of the holy names. And as Srila Prabhupada points out here, men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. Yasya deva parabhakti yatateva tathaguru. It's a fact that if you hear from someone who's a bona fide, self-realized soul, that one will be injected with spiritual knowledge, and the imports of Vedic knowledge will be automatically revealed. That is the potency of spiritual knowledge, spiritual subject matter. That's the way it works. That one becomes the imports, the understandings, the intimate or the deepest understandings of and philosophical understandings of spiritual life become known. But one has to hear from, hear that knowledge or receive those mantras for that matter. Shrota Vyadini Rajan, or what is that? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. That one has to hear or get those, that knowledge from a bona fide source. Otherwise, mantraste nishpalas, what is that? Mantraste nishpalas priha. That, otherwise, that knowledge or that information you're receiving, or even those mantras, they're ineffective. There's no benefit. It's just word jugglery. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada points that out in the purport here. That some people may appear to be philosophical. Actually, they don't understand philosophy. Philosophy means the study of one's morals or character, behavior. And people, the general mass of people, they're saying one thing, and the next moment they're doing something else. So that there's no real philosophical understanding there. So philosophy, again, it means to study one's character or behavior or conduct. So, again, one has to hear from a bona fide source. And when one hears from that bona fide source, then automatically the imports of Vedic knowledge become revealed and one becomes empowered. When Lord Brahma was speaking after he recited these wonderful verses in praise of Govinda, there's a collection of verses called the Brahma Sanghita. After Lord Brahma spoke those verses, the Lord, recognizing that Lord Brahma became, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta writes, became excited. He became enlivened by reciting these names, Krishna and Govinda. Right at the end of the verses, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta writes that after he, when he recognized or saw that Lord Brahma was becoming enlivened by this, he replied to Lord Brahma, I'm trying to remember the exact verses. Ato vacha mahavishnur bhagavatam prajapatim. Brahman mahatma vijnane prajasarge chachinmati. So the Lord replied to Lord Brahma that because I recognize that you're enlivened by chanting these names, I'm going to give you these next five verses. And by understanding those five verses, you'll understand what pure bhakti is. So he recites different verses to Lord Brahma. And in those verses, he points out the three principles of abhideya, prayojana, or sambandha, actually. What is it? Abhideya, sambandha, and prayojana in that succession. Sambandha, avideya sambandha, sambandha avideya prayojana. And it's very beautiful. The verses are just incredible. The last verse, he gives to Lord Brahma. He tells Lord Brahma that, what is it? Dharman anyan parityaja mam ekam bhajavishvasan. Yadrishi yadrishi shradhir bhavati bhagdari. What is the verse? Now I forget the last two lines, but the verses are beautiful because he explains to Lord Brahma that if you just do your work with the intent of serving me, and Srila Prabhupada makes that point in the purport here. Where he says, Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. So it's not necessary that one change your position necessarily, your work, your occupation, your family situation. But you just do that work and you do it as an offering to me. And you'll achieve, you'll realize this, what pure bhakti is. So, Srila Prabhupada makes that same point here in the purport, and Lord Chaitanya has said that also, Gyane Prayas Murapasya Damanta Eva, where he says that one needs only to give up the speculative tendency and accept the guidance of the pure devotee. And by doing that, one will progress very naturally in spiritual life and reach the ultimate goal. And that, of course, is to transcend the path of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada writes here, although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. So our purpose here in this human form of life is to become God-realized. It's not to become successful in material life. We don't need that. What we really need is to become freed from this material world and these sufferings that are there within this material existence. And the only way, the only means to do that is to change one's consciousness. And that's, again, been given to us easily, very conveniently, by this chanting of the holy names. And, of course, it's just as important, and it's even, in some sense, more glorious, if one can share that knowledge with others. That was the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That whoever one should meet, wherever or whoever you may meet or wherever you may go, try to spread or try to share this knowledge with others. And again, yesterday we had a very wonderful festival in celebration of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I heard someone was mentioning yesterday that there were some predictions that we were supposed to get a monster earthquake on the West Coast. Someone may have heard that. I read that somewhere. I heard that from someone also. So I think that because, this is just my speculation, that the kirtans were so ecstatic. There was a little rumbling here. But it satisfied the gods so that we didn't have any problems. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a super moon or something like that. Yeah, it was a super moon. We had a super kirtan, and Chandradev was quite satisfied, and he came out, and Indra also, he washed the streets a little bit earlier in the day, and then he waited until today to do the aftermath cleanup. But it's a fact that one who engages in a devotional service, we have no other obligation. There's no other. We don't owe anything. The devotee does not owe anything to anyone. One who engages in devotional service to the Supreme Lord, all of one's debts to the devas, to the forefathers, are satisfied. Instead, the devas, the forefathers, the rishis, they all become enlivened and satisfied. So, thank you very much for participating in it. Any questions again? Yes, sir. Yes, Prabhu. I'm not catching the whole question or the comment. Can you?
You said conditioned souls come into the material world and they're suffering. And then liberated souls come into the material world and they also feel suffering.
Absolutely. So, do they feel suffering? Their only suffering is that the conditioned souls are suffering. Otherwise, they're not disturbed by those things. Their real anxiety. The real anxiety for the liberated soul is that there's so many fools and rascals who are making material plans, but to no avail. That's their anxiety. So the devotees also, they're feeling some anxiety, but that anxiety is for the suffering conditioned souls. Otherwise, we can live quite simple. If the electricity goes out or if the water stops, we'll figure something out. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.